but a doctor called Luke. And we're picking it up in chapter 24, which Ian has just read. And there's this amazing moment. And it's a moment actually that's full of confusion and chaos. Maybe you can relate. Maybe your world is a little bit confusing. Maybe as we look at the world around us, we get a sense of chaos and confusion. Because Jesus has been captured, the one that they thought was the savior of the world that would rescue them, probably in their minds from the horrible Roman Empire, and would come in with strength and force and take over the Romans. But now Jesus is dead. We remember those moments on Good Friday where he was crucified, he was nailed to a cross. And there's no doubt that Jesus was dead. The Romans knew how to crucify somebody. There is not a doubt in anybody's mind. What we see on this first Easter morning is that the women are going to the tomb knowing that Jesus is dead. The hopes of his followers is gone. The story seems to be over. And we get to Luke 24, and we see early on that Sunday morning, there's these women that go, and they go to the tomb expecting to find death. Instead, they find that the stone has been rolled away. Some confusion, some chaos. And in that, the tomb is empty. Even more confusion and chaos. Maybe even fear. Certainly as two angels, the scriptures say men in white, we believe them to be angels that came to these women at the tomb and asked them this. And this is what I want to spend a few moments looking at this morning. In verse 5 of Luke 24, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Three things that I just want to pull out this morning, because it's such a good question that we see from those angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? So I want to ask you a question this morning. Very simple question, yes or no. Can you relate to the idea of losing something? Have you ever lost something? Hands up if you've lost something, your keys, your phone. I think it's common to all of us. We can all relate to that, whether it's like your handbag or your wallet, your children. Ever lost your children? I lost my daughter once, a new dad, going into the supermarket and take the pushchair in, first trip to the supermarket, get to the fruit and veg section and leave my daughter in a pushchair just there and wander off to get some healthy, fresh fruit and veg. And it seemed to fall out of my head that I'd got a child. Completely fell out of my head. So I wander off around the supermarket, picking up all these other bits. And it wasn't until I was on the opposite side of the supermarket that my brain suddenly clicked, you're a dad. And so I frantically ran round the supermarket looking for my daughter, couldn't find her, and fortunately got... Am I feeding back a little bit? Is there a... Yeah. Let me just push that way. And so got back to my daughter, who was had this lovely elderly lady was just sort of gently rocking the pushchair and said, I did hope somebody would come back. And so that made me feel awful in that moment. But I thought it was fascinating, wasn't that language? I did hope somebody would come back. Hope that things would turn out well in the end. I wonder if you've ever had somebody you know lose something, and then that very helpful phrase that gets said, where was the last place you had it? Isn't that the least helpful thing in the world? Because if I knew that, then it probably wouldn't be lost. Reuben, recently, we were at small group, and he's got these little jelly sort of toy things. I don't know what they're called. He'll probably shout it out what they're called if he's around. What they're called? Nido. If you've heard of a Nido, these little square, little gooey things. But we'd lost it. And so first thing I asked Reuben, where was the last place you had it? It was right here in this seat. That's where I had it last. Have you looked properly? Yes. Right. Okay. So then we all start, small groups start looking under chairs, around the room, under the table, and we can't find this Nido thing anywhere. I wonder if you can relate to losing something. I wonder if that's a little bit about that first Easter, that sense of arriving at the tomb and suddenly the thing that you're looking for is not there. It feels like everything is lost. And the angels ask these women, why do you look for the living among the dead? Busy looking, but not finding the very thing they hoped to find. Three things that I just want to explore very quickly this morning. The first is this. How often do we look for things of life in dead places? Why do you look for the living among the dead? See, these women came to the tomb and they were expecting to find death. That's what you do when you go to a tomb. You go to a tomb and you generally hope to find, well, not hope to find, but you generally do find death, because that is what a tomb represents. These women didn't doubt that Jesus was dead. They had seen the cross. They've watched him die. As far as they knew, the story that they were hoping for was dead. They even bought spices, Jewish burial custom, to bring spices in order to mask some of the smell and also to bring love and respect to the one who had died. So they looking for a body, preparing for burial, but instead they get asked this question: why do you look for the living among the dead? It's like Reuben with that toy. We're searching everywhere, under cushions, under the table, in random places. We weren't wrong to be looking. It wasn't wrong for us to be searching for that thing that was lost. We were just looking in the wrong place. We couldn't find it. And how many of us are searching for life, for hope, for satisfaction in places that cannot give it? We heard Nigel's testimony about that lifestyle of seeking pleasure and thinking that was it. But actually it didn't deliver what he was hoping it would. And we end up looking for ultimate meaning in our successes. Just got to get that next promotion. If I can just get there, then everything will be fine. If I can get to that next stage of life, then everything will be easier. We look for it in relationships, in money, in approval, in achievements. And none of these things are wrong in and of themselves. But they were never designed to carry the weight of our hope and our longing. Easter asks us to consider, where are you looking for life? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Where are you looking for life? Maybe we're looking for life in dead places. Maybe we're longing for hope in the wrong places. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And then after this question comes a declaration, which for those of us that know how the story's going to go, is filled with hope. But I wonder if for those first women, it actually added more confusion. Because the angels say, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. And I want to suggest, so often we're looking in dead places, for life in dead places, and we're ending up receiving empty promises. The women came to the tomb expecting to find the body of Jesus. Instead, they find nothing, just emptiness. Imagine in that moment, everything they'd hoped for, now Jesus is dead. But now at least we can honor him and we can remember him and we can have a place to go to. But now he's gone. In that moment, I wonder if there's a sense that even Jesus has let us down. The tomb is empty, even he's gone. We can't rely on anything. See, the emptiness might be something that we celebrate today because we know what's about to happen. But in these women, they're looking in dead places, and now the one they thought was the savior of the world has gone. Isn't the emptiness of the tomb in this moment, when the story seems final, yet we know it's incomplete, but the story seems final, stark picture of that empty tomb is almost like the empty promises that we receive when we look for hope and life in those places that cannot deliver. We place our hope in success, but what happens when it fails? If we place our hope in relationships, what happens when people let us down? If we place our hope in money, what happens when it disappears? So many people in my ministry life, in being a pastor, I've seen that there is a desperation in life because they place their hope in something and that thing has gone and they don't know how to live anymore. Life has gone because they're placing their hope in something that should never have its hope placed in. And it's delivering an empty promise. I was watching a football match recently. My son was playing for the school. And I got chatting to one of the dads, really nice guy, invited him to church this morning. And he's just a lovely guy that was chatting away. And he was speaking about how he has done really well in his work life, that he has risen to the top of the business that he's a part of. And it's a business in the Far East that's now rolling out tech across Europe. And he's the European director for that company. And he's doing really well. And he told me how he's being recognized at work and he's being headhunted by other companies. But he then said, I sit at my desk every day and wonder, is this what it's about? And this isn't somebody that would call themselves a Christian. This is someone who just sits down every day at work and thinks, I've got all the money, I've got all the recognition, got the house, got it all. But it's just not delivering. There's an emptiness. And he hoped for so much more. That's the thing, isn't it? That kind of hope is so fragile. That hope that rises and falls on circumstances, it disappears the moment that life doesn't go according to our plan. It's like standing in dead places, hope for something more, but only getting empty promises. I wonder if that's what these women are like on that Easter morning as they see that tomb that is empty. Everything they put their hope in has just given you an empty promise. But the story of God is so much different. The story of God offers a hope that is more secure. Because why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. That is not a full stop. That is not the end of the story. With Jesus, hope is different. Because hope is not found in a situation. It isn't found in an outcome. Hope is found in a person, and his name is Jesus. That even though he was crucified, he was buried, he is dead in a tomb, even though it looked like even putting our hope in Jesus ends up in empty promises. The empty tomb doesn't mean he's disappeared and he's gone. It means he's risen. He's not there because he is alive. And that means that forever we can have a hope that cannot be taken away. My final point this morning, and this is where I'm going to end. Maybe we're looking in dead places, getting empty promises, but the invitation of Easter is to encounter a living Savior. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Three words that redefine everything. He is risen. Suddenly the emptiness points forward, not backwards. The one that we've been searching for all along, the one who can truly satisfy, the one who can truly save, Jesus Christ, he is alive. And the same Jesus who walked out of that tomb on that first Easter morning is the one that meets us in the dead places of our life. In our grief, in our failures, in our emptiness, in our lack, where everything else is fragile and offers up empty promises, Jesus is unshakable and eternal, giving a hope that cannot be taken away because he defeated death. The grave could not contain him. The very thing that can steal our hope cannot be stolen for those that are in Jesus. That's why Easter matters, because hope isn't just a feeling that we try to hold on to when life is hard. Hope has a name, and its name is Jesus. The living Savior, death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. And as we go further on into the story of God, there's a letter to a church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that we do not grieve like those with no hope, speaking to those of us that believe in Jesus. It doesn't say that we won't not grieve. There won't be hard moments in life. But when we do grieve, we have a hope that is secure. Not based on everything going our way, but because he is alive, we have a lasting hope that holds us no matter what storms may come. See, Christianity isn't just about believing in a story. It's about encountering a living Savior personally and powerfully. That's the invitation of Easter. And Jesus still calls people to encounter him today. He still forgives. He still restores. He still brings dead hearts to life because hope has a name, and it is Jesus. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. That's the story of Easter. Remember Reuben's toy that we lost? We found it eventually. And do you know where we found it? The last place he had it. It was in the chair all along, down the side of the chair. It was there, sat waiting for us to find it. And when we found it, do you know what we said? Here it is. We found it. And that's exactly what happens on that Easter morning. Humanity is searching for hope in dead places, finding only empty promises. But hope was not lost. The emptiness is not the end of the story. He wasn't buried and gone and forgotten. Hope wasn't dead because Jesus is alive. The empty tomb isn't an empty promise, but it's a promise fulfilled that Jesus is alive. That our hope is found in a living Savior. And maybe this morning, maybe you would call yourself a Christian, you've been following Jesus, but you just take a moment and recognize maybe I'm looking for life in dead places. Maybe I'm wondering why it feels like there's empty promises. And the invitation is to encounter a living Savior. Maybe you don't follow Jesus. Maybe you're searching for hope, looking for success, looking in relationships, longing for achievements to deliver, looking for approval. Easter is God tapping humanity on the shoulder saying, here it is. He's been with you all along. He's not gone. He's not disappeared. The emptiness is because he's with you, alive, and with you right alongside you. The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Death was defeated. Sin was broken. The grave lost his power because he is risen. want to invite the band just to come up. They're going to lead us in a final song. And I'll invite everyone else, if you're willing, if you're able, let's just stand together. I just want a moment just to pause on this Easter Sunday. And my prayer is that as we leave this place, you will know the joy of God's presence. You would know the celebration of this day, whatever you have planned. If you're spending time with friends or family, if you're on your own, there would just be a peace that you would know. You would know that this is a day where God is tapping humanity on the shoulder going, I'm here. So Jesus, we thank you that you are not distant, that you are not absent, that you are not buried in the past, but you are alive today, present, and reaching out to each one of us. And as we stand here this morning, we recognize that many of us have been searching for peace, for meaning, for hope, in something that can truly satisfy, but sometimes in places that aren't able to give us what we long for. And in your grace, will you meet us today? Jesus, your arms are open wide. And in this moment, I want to invite you, if you would like to, just to respond. And that isn't to put pressure on you. That isn't to, like Nigel shared earlier on, are you going to follow Jesus? It's an opportunity just to respond to the God that is reaching out to you. Maybe some of you here this morning would say that you've never responded to Jesus. This is all new, and it's like, whoa. And if you want to chat to myself, or maybe someone that's brought you this morning, or somebody else in our church, we'd love to chat with you. Maybe in this moment, you just want to quietly respond to Jesus. Whether you follow him or not, the invitation is that he is for you, he is with you. And so in this moment, as I pray, you might want to say amen at the end of it, just as a recognition that you join in with that. Or maybe repeat my words quietly as I just pray, Jesus, I turn again to you this morning. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again so I could have life. Thank you that in you I am forgiven, I am restored. Bring my brokenness and ask that you would make me new. Would you fill me with your life? Fill me with your peace, with a hope that cannot be taken away. Will you give us strength to look for you to life, not in dead places, knowing that in you there is promise fulfilled, not empty promises, because you are a living Saviour. Amen. If you'd like to chat with myself or someone else in the church before you leave, then we'd love to be able to do that. But as we stand and we worship a Jesus who is risen, who is alive. And we get to celebrate because his hope is eternal. So let's raise our voice and let's sing with the team as they lead us this morning. Amen.